Amen. We've been reading tonight here in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus some verses which give us the historical record of the institution of what is known as the Passover feast. Now, even in 2015, this is one of the major Jewish festivals that is celebrated every year by the people there. To them, it is very important, and in the Word of God, it is very important as well. If you have been reading through the Second Chronicles, you will have noted that during the time of King Josiah, and he was certainly in a good measure a reformer, he was a good person, and he used his authority, and through what he did have to say, he in a great way brought the people back to God. But in 2 Chronicles there in chapter 35, you will read that they celebrated the Passover feast. And then if you go right through to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, that chapter which is known as the chapter of faith in the book of Hebrews, and there is a summary of the life of Moses there. We know that Moses was a leader when this feast was instituted. You notice there in chapter 11 as well, there is his observance of this feast. But like so many other things, while there are various references to those individual things and individual happenings and so on, very often there is a most significant reference. And we certainly believe that the most significant reference that is made in all of the Bible regarding the Passover and its up-to-date application, that is tonight, right now on the 8th of March 2015, the most relevant passage is found over there in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. I'll just read it to you now in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says there in verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In the Old Testament, Israel had been for generations in a place of heartbreaking bondage. They had known what it was to be ill-treated, and they had known what it was as well for the Lord to have promised that one day he would deliver his people from that situation. And it was while the children of Israel were still in Egypt that the Lord brought into being the Passover feast. And we have read there tonight, over in the chapter that we read from in the book of Exodus in the verse 3, that they were to take a lamb. Now it's notable that the lamb was to be carefully picked out, and it was to be kept for 2 weeks to make sure that there was no blemish on it. It was to be put to death, and its blood was to be applied to each Jewish home. The body then was to be roasted with fire, and people were to partake of the lamb in that way. And whatever was remained was really to be burned until there was nothing left. It was all to be done away with. And that really, what I have said tonight, basically, is the historical background to the Passover feast. But as we have already noted tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul said when he was writing there to the church at Corinth, Christ is the one who was the fulfillment of not only this type, that is the Lamb that typified Christ, but of all the types and all the shadows. They all pointed forth to that great antitype who would die the sacrifice and the substitute for his people. Christ, our sacrifice, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And we see in Christ the fulfillment of what took place symbolically that night in Egypt so long ago. So taking the title tonight, Take a Lamb. That is a very simple title. I want to draw your attention to some thoughts tonight. We trust the Lord will meet the need of your heart. I want you to notice first of all that they were to take a lamb that stood out. They were to take a lamb that stood out. If you look at verses 5 and 6, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." This was to ensure, to keep it for this time, to ensure that it was indeed without blemish and physically perfect. Probably easy enough to look upon a flock of sheep and say, well, there's a lot of sheep there and they look perfect to me. But then when you get them and keep them a day or two, you can find the blemishes. And you can find the individual physical faults with the lamb that would indicate to us that this is not a lamb at all that is without blemish. And of course, that in itself is a tremendous pointer to Jesus Christ, our Passover. He was without blemish. He was without blemish physically. But unlike any other man that was born of woman, he was without blemish spiritually, because he was born without sin. Not interested in the spin of the modernist who will seek to argue against all that the Bible shows us regarding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, and all of those things that are so important. Suffice tonight to say that the blood in his veins was not that of poisoned fallen man. He was not tainted with Adam's transgression, because we read there in the book of Acts that God gave his blood for the church. The blood in his veins was the blood of deity. Now, most people here tonight will know that for 33 years he gave proof of his perfection as he walked here on earth, scrutinized by many. But he could say before a hostile world, we read there in John 8 and 46, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" There's none of us here tonight can say that concerning ourselves. But he could say that. "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" You see, brethren and sisters, only he held the credentials of a perfect lamb. Only him. The apostles made much of this. It was Paul who said he knew no sin, referring to the pure mind of Christ. Peter said he did no sin, referring to his action. And John saying, in him there was no sin. He is and was the perfect lamb. He is the one who stood out all those years ago, and he's the one who stands out tonight as well. Now, back here in the book of Exodus, once it was established that the lamb was without blemish in verse 6, the lamb was to be taken and in all of its perfection, and it was to be taken and it was to be killed. I've said here from the pulpit before that I've never been to the Holy Land. I probably never will be. But some of you may have been. And you've looked upon Golgotha. And I'm sure there are all sorts of thoughts go through your mind as you look there and you think that over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, died there for me. He died on that hill for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, and in a very marked and in a real way, he made them his very own. And it was there that he gave his life a ransom for every converted sinner in this meeting here tonight. And that lamb, which was offered in the Passover long ago, was fulfilled by Christ at the cross. If you look there, and I'm sure you have read the book of Hebrews many a time by yourself, over there in the book of Hebrews it says, I just want a couple of quick references here that point to him. In Hebrews 1 and verse 3 it says, concerning the Saviour, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He did something that none of the priests had ever done before. There was no chair in the tabernacle because their work was never done. They could never sit down. But rather, he could sit down because it was a once and for all work that he accomplished. Over there, in the same book, the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and the verse 14. Chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There's an offer for you tonight, unsaved person, to purge your conscience from dead works. I can't do it. I can preach to you until you resent me for telling you you're a sinner. I can preach to you until you feel so uncomfortable that you determine you'll never come back. And I hope none of those things happen that I've just mentioned. But they may well do. But I can assure you tonight that I cannot purge your conscience from anything. But here's one, the perfect Lamb who can purge your conscience from dead works. And that's chapter 9, and it's the verse 26. This time it says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away his sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now if you look between that verse and the final verse, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And then it continues, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation." Salvation's work will be complete. Judicially it is complete when you're converted. One day it will be complete when God's people are brought to be with himself. "Unto they that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation." And I asked you the question tonight, are you in that situation where you're able to look with expectancy and with hope towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Really what I'm saying here tonight is this. When you think of this Lamb that stood out, what is he to you? What is he to you? Think just for a moment of the blood that we mentioned on another occasion. Has the blood been applied to the doorposts and lintel of your heart? Here's a very solemn thought. If the death angel were to pass your way tonight, would it be able to be said of you, of God, "I will pass over thee. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee." And why I have given this point at the very beginning of this message is this, that this Lamb stood out, and this Lamb that we're speaking about tonight ought to stand out in the meeting this evening. We take God's word. We take God at his word. And the promise of his word is that where his people are gathered together, there is he in the midst of them. Therefore, we claim that promise tonight. So Christ is here in the midst of his people. And already I can say with a great deal of assurance that for every Christian here, he does stand out. We think of him as we sing the hymns. We think of him as we offer prayers. We read the word and we come to the preaching part. But does he stand out for you? Well, with that thought in mind, I want to move on to a second point here. I want you to notice here that there is a very personal application. There's a very personal application here. If you look with me there, please, in verse 3, and you note what it says there. It says, "They shall take of them every man a lamb." In the original there, that is, you would know this, it is the indefinite article. But then if you look down in verse 4, it says there, it says, "And if the household be too little for the lamb." But we really want to focus on verse 9, where it says there, your lamb shall be without blemish. Someone looked at this passage and they said that over verse 3, where it says, a lamb, you could write religion. And where it says there in verse 4, the lamb, you could write people who listen to the gospel. And then in verse 5, where it says, your lamb, you could write Christian. I don't know how many of you were at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night. I think that's where I mentioned it to you, that just during these past days, there has been a man saved in Bushmills Church. Bushmills Church has been in decline as far as attendance was concerned. I think there were 8 or 9 people there. Our young brother Mark Telford was preaching, and Mark had come to the door, and he said to a man who'd been there from the very start of that work. I'm not saying he attended all the meetings on a Sunday, but he did come to many of them. His wife was saved, and he'd come along to very many of the meetings. And Mark said to him, he said, I'm going up to open the door. I need to go out here for a breath of fresh air. And the man said to him, the words to this effect, he says, you needn't be going anywhere. He said, I want to talk to you. And Mark says, no problem. And he said, I want to get saved tonight. And Mark says, well, there's a lot of verses I could show you. He says, Mark, I know you would. And he says, but I know the verses as well as you do. And he said, I could preach the gospel to you as well as you preach it to me. He said, but I need to make my peace with God tonight. And just the other day, on that Sunday night, and I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, he came and trusted the Savior. What an answer to prayer for his family. You see, for long enough, that man had been the one who knew about religion. It was a lamb. But then after a period of time, it was the lamb, because he come and he listened to the gospel and he believed that what he was hearing was right. But the other day, when he stayed with Mark Telford and he come to Jesus Christ and received him as his personal Savior, it become your lamb was applicable to him, because the lamb was his. He came and trusted him as his own and personal Savior. And maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not really too sure where you stand. Well, the very best test of your redemption is this. Think tonight of the lamb. Could I say to you, take a lamb. And as far as you're concerned, is it a lamb? Someone you've heard about. You've heard about what he has done. But to go beyond that, you really can't say that there's anything of significant interest to you. You've heard the gospel story, the story of the cross, but really it doesn't mean anything to you tonight. Well, then you're lost. And he's just a lamb. You see, there are people in the meeting tonight, and one day God spoke to our heart by his Holy Spirit, and the lamb became much more than a lamb. Maybe that hasn't happened to you tonight. But part of the test is also, when you think of this lamb, if you say, well, it's a bit more than that, preacher, as far as I'm concerned, well then I wonder, is it the lamb? Are you convinced that what is preached in houses like this, not necessarily just Free Presbyterian houses and other places as well, when the gospel message is preached and Christ is uplifted as the only Savior, a fallen man, you're convinced that it's true. And you're happy to listen to the gospel. And as far as you're concerned tonight, it's not really just a lamb, but it is the lamb. And if you're in either of those categories tonight, where it is a lamb or the lamb, then you still stop short of the mark. You have still stopped short of that place where I as a preacher and your friends here as praying people would want you to get to. Because the next step here is, as you consider this lamb, and we're thinking here, remember the point, a very personal application. The next step is he your lamb? If I were to ask the people here to stand, and I wouldn't do that, unless it was you to do it voluntarily and tell me where you were saved. Some were saved at home. Remember hearing just after I was saved many years ago, there was meetings in a place called the Upper Room, which was outside Armagh, and a drum solemn there. And I remember a night when people were standing up, and there was a farmer there. He actually came with a coat on him that was tied round him with a piece of rope to the meeting. People knew him. You're not going to believe this. He's a millionaire. But he came, well, all farmers are millionaires, aren't they? He came to the meeting with the rope tied around him, and he had the son with him. And he whenever he came to, he stood up and he said, "I was saved out in the field." And then the son, who was about 10 or 11 years of age, and I can still remember the wee fella standing up and said, he said, "I got saved one night in the bath." You see, folks, it does not matter whether it was the bath, or whether it was a field, or whether it was in church, or whether it was in the house, or where it was. The point is this, that every true Christian speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lamb. He's not just a Lamb, he's not just the Lamb, he is your Lamb tonight. He belongs to you. Did the hymn writer say, "I belong to Jesus, Jesus belongs to me," not for the years of time alone, but for eternity? Every Christian can say that tonight, but I ask you, can you say that? Well, there's millions that know about him as a Lamb. There's a good number who know about him as the Lamb. And it's our prayer tonight that everyone here, whether you're in the meeting or listening on sermon audio, that you will know him as your Lamb. Because that is the personal application that we find when we think of the words, "take a lamb." Take a lamb. And the truth of God's word shows us tonight that if you don't know him, you're doomed. You're doomed. I don't say that to frighten anyone. It's just to impress upon your heart the truth again of God's word. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." Surely that's a startling thought. Going about your daily business knowing that the wrath of God abides upon you. The gentleman that I mentioned just earlier there in the meeting, that had been his experience for almost an entire lifetime. Decades. But tonight, he's rejoicing because Christ is his Lamb. It can be yours tonight as well. I have one final thought here, and it is this. Could I say, just as we move on here, that, and you think of the Lamb as your Lamb, there's some words that I want to draw your attention to, and it is simply this. It really is a question, and it comes to my thought as I look here at these verses. Are you ready or not? Are you ready or not? If you would look at the passage with me again there in chapter 12, the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 11. It says there, "And thus shall ye eat it," this is the eating of the lamb, "with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste." Ye shall eat it in haste. You're looking at someone here in verse 11. Their loins girded, that their shoes on, that their staff in their hand. What do you see here? You see a person who is ready to depart. A person who has made preparation to depart and depart. And this, brethren and sisters, is the prime responsibility of life. Now, we're not being morbid. And certainly it does not mean that if you get saved, you die right away, or all you think about is just sitting around waiting to die. That is not the teaching of the word. But at the same time, the prime responsibility in life is to be prepared to go. Prepared to go and to meet the Lord. Maybe you're still playing the fool tonight. And you've played the fool for long enough. And you've swept away any conviction that has come your way, and you've blotted it out with giving yourself to something else. But please look at what it says here in verse 11. Doesn't it say, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste." Eat it in haste. What does this remind us? This reminds us that opportunities are fast disappearing. And the call to you tonight is simple. Lay hold on eternal life. Sometimes it takes a very long time to get men and women to the point where they will do that. Of course, salvation is of the Lord, but I'm speaking here of preaching and praying, whether it's in the church or concerning family members. When I think of that, I'm reminded of Naaman. Do you remember him, who was revered? Good military man. Good at leading the people in that way. He'd made a name for himself. No doubt he stood out. But we know that Naaman was a leper. And his little maid had a concern for him. And she wanted him to be in touch with Elisha, that Elisha might be able to do something for him. And Elisha has sent a message to him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Now, he couldn't have sent him much worse news than that. The River Jordan was renowned even in those days for its filthiness. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thou shalt come, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. It says here that Naaman was raw. And when you speak to men and women and you say, you need to turn from your sin right away, so many are on the defensive. What sin are you talking? How dare you speak to me like that? And let's face it, more and more, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but there are certain developments in certain parts of cities and so on. If you go around and you're talking to people, you say that you're in the conversation, you mention sin, you get frowned upon. You could be looked at disdainfully and asked to leave. But that doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. Because you read on there concerning Naaman. It says, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. How many people in Northern Ireland have come up against this stumbling block? They've listened to the gospel. They've heard Christ preached. They've heard of their need. But then I thought. He says here, concerning his situation, he said, I thought I would surely come out unto me. In other words, he wanted Elisha to take the initiative and come out to him. Maybe he would come out and strike his hand over the place here and recover the leper. He really wanted to be cured on his terms. And then he moves it a little bit. He says, are not Abama and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. What a picture of people who've heard the gospel. They're thinking, I thought, how dare you speak to me like that? Maybe they may not say it audibly, but say it in their heart. And then going away in a rage. Now, if you know the story here of Naaman, you know that eventually he did listen to what he was asked to do. And he went and he washed 7 times in the Jordan, verse 14. And according to the saying of Elisha, his flesh came again as the flesh of a child, and he was cleansed. What a beautiful picture there is of men and women who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, when I think of Naaman here, why I've drawn your attention to him, or part of the reason is this, that he was a military man. He lived a life of danger, uncertainty. Every time he went out to the field, even though he was probably leading from the front, and even because of that reason, he was never guaranteed that he was going to come home the way he went out. You know what I mean? He may have been killed. Great uncertainty. And if he had scarpered this opportunity to do as he was asked to do, who knows what might have happened to him? Who knows how far the leprosy may have moved? And he may never have come face to face with Elisha again. He had to move in haste. And dear friend, tonight, in your sin, and leprosy again is a type of sin, that sin which eats away at the individual, leaves you numb, apparently. And numb means without feeling. And sin so often leaves men and women that when the gospel is preached, there's no feeling there. It doesn't seem to mean anything. Therefore, they sin on. But tonight, the call to you is to go in haste. The title at this point was Ready or Not, and that's a question you have to answer tonight. Ready or not? If Christ were to come or call, how would you meet him this evening? The verse over there in the book of Romans, chapter 11 and verse 6. And this is what it says. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. What I'm preaching tonight is grace through Jesus Christ. Forget about your works. Because if you try to factor them in any way, then grace will be no more grace. Here's something for you as we bring the meeting to a close. Whatever your background is and however often you have rejected Christ in the past, there's grace for you tonight if you will come. Take a lamb tonight again. We'll remind you of the title of the message, Take a Lamb. What is a lamb to you, listener? Do thank you for listening. But what is the lamb to you? As you leave this meeting, go out into the night, and in your estimation, you will face another week with all of its challenges and all of its pleasures and the normal week for you. You will go out with Christ as either a lamb, you know about him, the lamb, you're happy to listen to the gospel about him, or your lamb. And right at the close tonight, we would exhort you to make him your lamb. Take the lamb tonight. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you come to him, he will meet you. And if you embrace him, he will embrace you. And if you rest in his finished work tonight, you can do that. And I trust that you will come and make him your lamb this evening. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your